How many of you remember tonight whenever that lighthouse shed its beams along your way? How many tonight? Goodness. Aren't you glad for the power of the gospel tonight? I shudder to think this evening, had Christ not come and died upon the cross, where would we be? But also, had there not been those that He called out to proclaim that gospel? The Bible says in one place, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, sometimes that can be through testimony, that can be through song, that can be through the preaching of God's Word. God can use anything tonight in order to get His gospel forth and those that are lost to hear what they need to do to be saved. It's good to be here tonight. We're truly thankful for this opportunity and glad for the good sermon that Brother Tim preached last night. And I've gotten to have a greater admiration, not that I didn't admire him before, but a greater admiration for him to stand and to preach. We're to preach no matter what kind of circumstances that we are under. We're to stand and proclaim it. And whenever that we think tonight about the dire consequences, how that lost souls are at stake, it behooves us to even be more vigilant and diligent about our service. It's good to see each and every one here this evening. And once again, if I don't get an opportunity to shake your hand, I'm not snubbing you. Sometimes I get preoccupied and on a straight course and forget who's around me. But I want to say tonight, I'm truly thankful to see each and every one here. And for visitors that are with us, if you're here visiting, and I kind of count myself along with that, but we're thankful for our visitors that are with us tonight, and we hope and pray that you feel at home. If you're here and lost, we're glad that you're here. And we hope and pray that God, through the Holy Spirit, will touch your heart and will draw you to a place of repentance that you might be saved. If you have your Bible with you, turn with us to the first chapter of the book of the Ephesian letter. The Ephesian letter written by the Apostle Paul. We're going to start our reading lesson with the third verse. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. These being also one of the other, or of the other, of the four prison epistles that the Apostle Paul wrote in about a period of time from approximately 62 to 64 A.D., while that he was in prison in Rome. One of the greatest chapters, or one of the greatest books, that he has pinned down talking about oneness, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one Father who is above all and in you all, and also the endeavoring of one to become one through the Holy Spirit with the Heavenly Father. We turn to the words of God, and we find in the third verse of the first chapter of the book of the Galatian letter, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, and having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him that worketh all things according or after the counsel of His will, that we should be to the praise of the glory, praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. If correctly read, this is the third, down through the 14th verses of the first chapter of the book of the Ephesian letter. We want to take for a text tonight another one of Paul's writings over in the 4th chapter of the book of the Galatian letter. You don't need to turn there unless you want to. But the 4th chapter of the book of the Galatian letter, and in the 4th and in the 5th verses, where we find these words. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And that would be our text this evening, those two verses of Scripture, with Ephesians as our background tonight. And our thought would come from these words that speak and have a commonality tonight of a work of God. Actually, we hope to speak about two works of God. But what we're concerned about tonight is one work of God. One work of God that I pray tonight that you will experience if you've not been saved by the grace of God. We would like to speak about the relationship of redemption and also the relationship of adoption. Now, I hope not to make this complicated, not to make this something that is too far-fetched. But I believe tonight that people, in order to be saved, must be redeemed. They must experience, they must undergo redemption. And redemption in a particular way. Now, I guess the first thing that we would say tonight is, what is redemption? Have you been redeemed? Have you experienced the redemption that is in Christ Jesus tonight? Anyone that has been saved has experienced redemption. Anybody that claims to have been born again, claims to have been adopted into the family of God, has been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Now, to be redeemed, I want you to know that there was a price that was paid for redemption. And I want you to know that the redemption of a lost soul is one of the most precious things tonight. Peter says in one place, in the first chapter of the book of Peter, and I believe in the 17th and 18th verses, he said, "Know ye not that you're not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers?" But he said, you are redeemed with the precious what? The precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb that was offered, a lamb that was slain. He paid the price that was needed to redeem you from sin. And also, He paid the price tonight for you to have this privilege that you have this evening, because without redemption, none of this would be possible tonight. But tonight we want to look at redemption. Christ paid the price of redemption. And whenever we think about redemption tonight, there's three aspects to it. First of all, there is the fact of redemption. Now, the word redemption can be broken down into basically three words. First of all, the first one is a word that means to be bought with a price. Now tonight, something that is precious is bought with a price. And I want you to know this evening that the souls of men are precious in the sight of God. Even whenever that Adam sinned, Adam was still precious in the sight of God. Even whenever that Adam's posterity sinned, they're still precious in the sight of God. And my friend, even when you sin tonight, you are precious still in the sight of God. It does not mean that God loves your sin, but He loves the soul. And I want you to know that the Bible says that He loved the soul of individuals enough that He was willing to send His Son into the world. And His Son was equally willing to come into the world and to die the death of a transgressor to redeem us from sin. But to be redeemed tonight means to be purchased. You are a purchased possession this evening if you've been saved. And if you are lost tonight, God wishes for you to experience that redemption, that purchasing of your soul this evening. What is the price tonight that was paid? Well, it took the shedding of blood. The Bible says, as we have quoted, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Bloodshed means that there has been a death that has been incurred. A death how? A death of one in the place of another. I want you to know when Christ went to the cross of Calvary, He did not take just the place of Barabbas. He did not take just the place of His nation or His disciples, but He took the place of each and every one of us tonight. He tasted the death that you and I deserved. In fact, Hebrews tells us in the second chapter of the book of Hebrews, by the grace of God, that Jesus Christ tasted of death for each and every man. Amen. My friend, He tasted the physical death. I believe He felt, my friend, the stripes across His back. As they sang that song, I thought, oh Lord, I'll never know what it is like to suffer like You did. I'll never know what it is like to have someone lay a cat of nine tails across my back, or to scourge me today, for Him to have undergone what He did, my friend. What a price that He paid. Not only did He taste of that, but I want you to know that He also tasted of the death of the sinner. Now, you don't always have to agree with me tonight on any of this, but I believe this evening, whenever that Christ died upon the cross, He tasted not only the physical death, but by the grace and by the help of God, He tasted something spiritual tonight. Amen. The Bible tells us that for about the space, if I'm not mistaken, of 3 hours upon the cross as He hung, it was bad enough tonight that He had the nails driven into His hands. It was bad enough tonight that He had the nails driven into His feet. And it was bad enough, my friend, that He was crowned with a crown of thorns. My friend, the product of the curse, my friend, that came from the ground because of Adam's sin. I want you to know this evening, my friend, that for the space of about 3 hours upon the cross, my friend, Christ Jesus became the epitome of sin in the sight of the Father. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I believe verse 21, it said, He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through Him. My friend, upon the cross for 3 hours, the Bible says that darkness permeated the entire earth. People used to think that, well, it was just in that locality. It was just in that region. It was just over the palace of Pilate. But there have been Jewish writers and Greek writers that have come forth lately that have talked about how that in approximately 30 to 33 AD, that there was a phenomenon they could not explain that even affected them where that they were at in the Roman Empire. A darkness that could not be accounted for as an eclipse. A darkness, my friend, that scattered abroad across the earth. My friend, I want you to know when Christ died, He became the epitome of sin. He became the offscouring of sin. My friend, the sins of us all were laden upon Him. And Brother Bronner, there upon the cross, I want you to know that God judged our sins as He laid them upon Christ Jesus. And then the Father did something tonight that He had never done before. Jesus had always preached about, I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. My Father and I. My Father which is greater than I. And you can read in the book of John how many times that He would talk about that. But I want you to know, my friend, God cannot look upon sin. He can't, Sister Evelyn. He can't look upon my sins. He can't look upon your sins. But my friend, as the sins were laden upon the cross upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the sight of God, Jesus became every despicable, deplorable, depraved sin, my friend of mankind. And my friend, I want you to know that in that day and in that time, that God had to make a decision. People talk about making decisions. Don't you just love that today? People decide, well, I'll decide to follow Jesus. And about 3 years later, I'll decide to follow Buddha. I pick on the Buddhist a lot, don't I? Well, I'll decide to follow Allah. I want to tell you something, my friend. Brother Riddle, God made a decision that day. Would He allow His Son to suffer what He had suffered, and men to mock and jeer Him, and to turn their back upon Him, and to mock Him and to say He saves others, Himself He cannot save? Would He allow Him to go through the humiliation, your humiliation? Would He allow Him to go through the shame, your shame? Would He allow Him, my friend, to take sin, your sin, upon Himself? My friend, us have the opportunity to be reconciled unto God. Or, my friend, would He take His Son into His arms, send legions of angels down upon this despicable, sin-loving world? I'm not a very big individual. I'm not very, very large. Well, about the same size as Brother Honeycutt. I pick on Brother Honeycutt, too. Told him one night I'm going to try to wear Vanderbilt's colors just to... But I want you to know this evening, my friend, if somebody took one of my sons and they did despite to him and they tried to put him upon a cross, or they took that little grandchild of mine that is so precious tonight, oh, I want to tell you, I'm not very big, Brother Brad, but I want to tell you something. Wild horses cannot hold me back from trying to get to my son. I love my sons. I love my grandson. I love my grandchildren. But I want you to know, listen to what the Bible says tonight. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son for you also, my friend, that He spared Him not, so that we would not perish, that whosoever would repent and believe upon Him would have eternal life. God had to make a decision that day. Would He allow His Son to be crucified? Would He allow His Son to be hung upon a cross in darkness? Or would He send angels down to take the nails from His hands, to give Him the sustenance of water to cool His parched tongue in the Judean desert, in the Judean sun? And I want you to know, my friend, God looked down upon that scene. Here was sinful, death-deserving mankind on one side. Here was His Son, His precious, sinless Son on the other side. And I want you to know that God turned His back away from His Son, that you and I might be set free. And my friend, out of the midst of the darkness, the Bible said, there was a cry that went up, that reached up from one end of heaven to the other. Angels stood at attention. My friend, angels stood at the attending call of the great and mighty God. My friend, they were waiting. They were waiting for that signal. They were waiting for that command. But that command never came. And my friend, I want you to know the cry came up before heaven and before God. A cry that you and I will never utter up. It's a cry of one out of the midst of eternal, everlasting, spiritual darkness. A type of death that you and I, Brother Brown, will never experience, but He tasted of. It is a cry of separation. It is a cry of desperation. It's a cry of humiliation tonight. My friend Christ cried up unto God and said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is the Aramaic for my God. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Amen. My friend, I want you to know our redemption cost something tonight. And the Bible says in one place, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Amen. That's redemption, my friend. That's redemption this evening. Amen. But there's another part of it tonight. Those that believe with all of their heart, my friend, they experience an aspect of that redemption. It's not just He purchased you and got you off scot-free for one time until the next time. But I want you to know whenever that He set us free, that is, those that have been redeemed have repented and believed and experienced the new birth. My friend, there's an aspect unto that redemption this evening. My friend, we'll never ever go back onto that market of sin again. We'll never come under the dominion of the law again to be judged of the law. When Christ redeems, He redeems for all of eternity. My friend, it's an everlasting, eternal salvation tonight. It is something, my friend, tonight that, my friend, sets us free. And the Bible says in the 8th chapter of the book of John, if the Son shall make you free, you're free indeed. Has the Son made you free? I want to ask you that question tonight. Has Christ redeemed your soul? Has He set you free tonight? And you might say tonight, well, I believe the report. I believe the accuracy of the account. I believe the historicity of it tonight. But do you know something, my friend? It's not just up here. But we're talking about, have you believed from the depths of your heart and of your soul tonight? Have you believed and based your eternal destiny upon Him and what He did upon the cross of Calvary? My friend, the Bible tells us over in the book of James, it says the devils fear and tremble. They believe, but my friend, they'll never experience redemption. They'll never experience what it is to be redeemed. They are bound, the Bible says, in chains of darkness. There is no hope for them tonight, Brother Riddle. There is no chance that those that followed Lucifer in rebellion against the Most High will ever be redeemed. But what art man? What is man tonight that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that thou shouldest visit him? My friend, thou madest man a little lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor. And Christ came to redeem them and to take them out from under the bondage of sin tonight. Brother, I want you to know, someone will say, well, Brother Kofor, redemption is a legal term. Yes, it is. But my friend, it's also a spiritual term. It's a term, my friend, that you can know about. My friend, you read over into the 4th and 5th chapters of the book of the Revelation, and the Bible tells us there is a song. I always think about, my friend, we don't know exactly what those words are. We don't know quite what that tune is like. And my friend, we may get there and we may not be able to understand with these English ears what the African is singing that's been redeemed. Or perhaps, my friend, the Arab that's been redeemed, what he's singing. But I'll tell you something, it's to the glory and honor of God. It's not for us to know. And someone will say, well, what do you think those words are tonight? It's the words recorded over in the 4th and 5th chapter of the book of the Revelation. The Bible says, they all began to sing a song unto the Lamb. They said, Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, for Thou hast redeemed us unto God out of every nation, kindred, and tongue by Thine own blood. My friend, are you redeemed with the blood of the Lamb? Are you redeemed with Christ's blood? Have you been purchased of Him tonight? And my friend, you not only experience it legally in the court halls of God, but you can experience it, my friend, spiritually, in your heart and in your soul. You can know that you're redeemed. No, you may not be able to use the theological terms. No, you may not be able to spout it all off correctly. But my friend, if you've been born again, you've got a ticket that'll get you to heaven, and you have been redeemed. Amen. And then there's another aspect of it. We are set free and we are loosed. The Bible tells us over in, I believe it is Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. It's also found over in Mark, where that He said, that Son of Man that we preach about, the Son of Man came not to minister or to be ministered unto, but to minister. And it says He gave Himself as a ransom. His life, His eternalness, His holiness, my friend, was a ransom. And I want to tell you something, and I'll preach it to you again. Your righteousness that you have tonight, my friend, and the righteousness that you need, lost soul, tonight, is not something that you can conjure up upon your own, because the Bible clearly teaches us that our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. We don't have any capability, never will have, never hope to have, nothing that we can bring, no sacrifice, nothing that we can bring that can merit the holy attention of God. But I want you to know that God, as we read in your hearing in the book of the Ephesian letter, accepts us. Accepts us how? Accepts us in the Beloved. When Christ, my friend, His image is imprinted upon our heart through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are born again. We are born of the Spirit. We are born above. Someone will say tonight, "Do you believe in a born-again experience?" I most certainly do. Jesus Himself said it unto Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, in the 3rd chapter of the book of John. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." I didn't write the book. I didn't say it. I didn't make it up. God said it and revealed it. Amen. Someone will say, "How can these things be? How can it be?" Well, my friend, He went on in the 8th verse of that same chapter to say that the Holy Spirit is like a wind. Have you ever felt the Holy Spirit? If you've been saved, you have. If you've been convicted, you felt the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And thanks be unto God for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit tonight. Because that's the beginning, if you'll follow it tonight. That's the beginning of God leading you unto salvation. You might say tonight, "I don't like to feel bad. I don't like to feel this way. I don't like to feel reproach. I don't like to feel like that I'm guilty in the sight of God." But my friend, you cannot appreciate the new birth. You cannot appreciate salvation, my friend, and the sweetness of it, and to drink from its sweet wells tonight, until, my friend, you are like David, who said, "I found trouble and sorrow." And he said, "The pangs of hell got hold upon my soul." He said, "And then cried I out unto God, O God, deliver my soul." And He did. My friend, when you experience that new birth, there is a sweeping wind that comes through the heart and the soul that bears witness with our heart, that bears witness with our soul, that we are a child of God. It's the same Spirit that convicts us, and it's the same Holy Spirit tonight that makes us to know when we pass from death unto life, and makes us to know that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Holy Spirit tonight. My friend, He sets us free. And as we said, if the Son shall make you free, you are free indeed. Then He makes us His child. Now you might say, "There's steps to it? Is it kind of like a catechism, Brother Colfer?" No, He does it all together. He does it all together. But I want to tell you, my friend, what your privilege is tonight if you've been saved. You've been adopted as a child of God. What is it to be adopted tonight? If I went to the White House, of course we've changed presidents now, but I went to the White House and I sat out on the step and I said, I'm a relative of the president. I'm his son. Well, you know something, tonight he might come out and he'll say, "That's not my son." I want to tell you something, until He makes me His son, I'm not His son. Now that may sound rather simplistic. People can go to the house of God and say, "I'm a child of God," but until really God makes you a child of God, you're not a child of God. Amen. You're a child of God in the sense that you are created in His image, and that you have, my friend, the likeness of God, probably physically, but the fact you're a spiritual entity. But my friend, to be a true child of God tonight, it takes that new birth and being adopted into the family of God. You ever read about the story of Mephibosheth? David had made a covenant with Jonathan many years ago, before that he reached the kingdom. He said, "Are there any of the household of Jonathan, the household of David, that I might show them kindness?" And the Bible says that they went and searched through the land. And they looked and they searched, and they found a son of Jonathan by the name of Mephibosheth living in Lodabar. And the Scripture tells us today that they brought him unto David. He said, "Bring him unto me." And you know, already the household of Saul had been decimated and had gone by the wayside. And you know, perhaps Mephibosheth, this little lame man, came in before he went in before David and thought, oh, he's going to do me in. That's the end of me. He's going to have the kingdom legally now. He's going to take my life. He's going to take my life. I'll never know what it is to sit within the courts of the palace again. Let me tell you something tonight, lost soul. You might think within your heart, within your soul, you'll never know peace again. You'll never know have an assurance again. But let me tell you something. Whenever that the King calls for you, you go right on in. Because He's wanting to show kindness unto you. He's wanting to show benevolence unto you. He's wanting to make you your child, His child tonight. And they called Mephibosheth in, and I can almost see Mephibosheth just kind of coming that way, kind of hobbling a little bit. He can't walk very well. I want you to know that he bowed down before David and said words to this effect, "Why should the king look upon such a dead dog as I?" But David lifted him up. And he said, "Mephibosheth, you're going to eat bread at my table for as long as I am king." And that's what God does through Christ. That's what Christ does tonight. He takes a beggar. He takes a thief. He takes one that is undone, that is a sinner tonight, and He makes him His own. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, He redeems him. Someone will say tonight, what about the sin problem? What about the problem with Mephibosheth whenever that he was crippled? All the beautiful children of David came in, Tamar and Absalom and all of them. They would sit down. You see them sit down at the table? See them sit down? They're all seated. They look like they just stepped out of GQ or Mademoiselle or whatever that the magazine would have been in that time. All beautiful. But here's little A. Mephibosheth. Not as strong as they are. But I want to tell you a secret tonight. When they sat down at that table, that curtain, that table, covered his lameness. And he sat there on an equal status right along with the rest of them. My friend, what about the sin question in us? What about that in us? My friend, I want to tell you, when we sat down as a child of God, having been adopted into the family of God, my friend, I want to tell you, there is something that covers and atones for our sins. So, then nobody can bring it up again. Oh, thank God, Brother Aaron, for the blood of Christ that atones. Thank God for the blood of Christ that covers, is an atonement, is a propitiation for our sins tonight. And my friend, I want to tell you something. He makes us His child. He makes us His son tonight. He makes us in a position, my friend, relationship-wise, we are born into the family of God. But position-wise, we have the status of a son. And do you know, Brother Honeycutt, we have that status where that we are an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ Jesus. Christ becomes our elder brother. He becomes not only advocate, high priest, mediator, intercessor, but Brother Brad, he also becomes our elder brother. He has placed us into the family of God. He has put us, He has adopted us. And I want to tell you, He translates us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. And my friend, I'll say this again. My friend, if your sins are ever dredged up before you to make you doubt of your status with God, if ever there comes a time that you began to doubt it, you began to wonder, well, did God really receive me? Did He really save me? Did He really atone for my sin? Did He really forgive me? I'm going to tell you something. That's not God bringing that up. Because when God forgives sins, He casts it behind His back. He cast it as far as the east is from the west. And as far as God is concerned, it's never to be brought forth again. You are a child of God forever. And my friend, that repentance that the Bible speaks about, as far as salvation is concerned, is only one time. You don't need to go back and repent over and over and over and over and over again to be saved. He talks about repentance unto salvation just one time. Now, it may take a while before you get there. You may have to seek God until you find that grace to turn from sin and to turn to God with all of your heart. But my friend, once you get to that place and God grants that grace tonight, my friend, He transacts it. He gives you the grace to repent and to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He saves your soul. He takes you out of darkness. He puts you into the kingdom of light. You are a child of God. If you're here tonight and you've not been saved, you've not experienced redemption tonight, while that we sing this song, while that we sing this hymn, we want to give you this opportunity to come. Is the King speaking for you as He did for Mephibosheth? Is He beckoning you to come into His presence? You that are lost and unsaved tonight, won't you seek Him with all of your heart? Won't you come before Him and just prostrate yourself before Him and say, Lord, here I am. Just take me the way that I am. I don't know of any other way to come unto you, dear Lord. I don't know how to approach unto you, but you lead me. And I want to tell you something. God will meet you halfway. He always has. He always will. While that we have this song, and while that we have this hymn, and while that we stand and sing the verse of this song, lost soul, we give you that opportunity to come. Now, I'm not going to ask you to come to this altar. I'm not going to ask you to come up here, necessarily. And someone will say, preacher, you're crazy. That's what we're here for. No, I'm going to ask you to go to the foot of the cross. I'm going to ask you to go where that atoning flow, that redeeming blood, my friend, comes forth. I love that song that talks about, you know, the water refreshing and everything. From the side of Christ came forth blood and water for the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. And then came forth that blood today to redeem from sin. So while that we stand, while that we sing this song, lost soul, we invite you to come to Jesus tonight. We invite you to come to the foot of the cross and be redeemed by His blood. While we stand, while we sing.